after save, rebound, scores! Tierney in front of the net. Shot coming in traffic and scores! Mrazek looks skyward. Now in front of the net with a shot, scores! With 6/10 of a second left! And the Senators are up 3-0.
Yeah, obviously, the idea of being down 3 goals, clearly. I think we obviously want to start a lot better.
Obviously, we've had 2 slow starts here, 2 games in a row, so it's going to be something we'll talk about. It'll be definitely a theme going into next game, and something we don't want to make a habit of, starting slow.
The Leafs lose 3-2 in the first meeting of the Battle of Ontario after another slow start. Welcome to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. I'm Julia Teixeira from Bardown. We've got Mike DiStefano, Al's brother, from Overdrive with us. Leafs game aside, AB, we almost made it through our work first week here.
We did. We've made it through. Well, I guess hopefully today goes all right.
We shouldn't even say that yet.
Well, it's a bad omen. We got a pop a shot station here in the station, and I took a shot and I missed. And now I don't know how I feel about going into the final show. I probably shouldn't have done that. But anyways, last night's game. Slow starts certainly is, like Spezza said, it's going to be a theme, and that's been the theme so far through 2 games. But like, this has been a theme, and he said, you know, let's not blow it out of proportion. It's still early. It's only 2 games, but like Spets, this is something that has been occurring over the course of the last 5 years, really. I mean, Mike Babcock, his thing has always been like slow starts, slow starts, slow starts. It's been plaguing this team. And then like, if you take a look, looking back at last year, you look at the 3 games that they had to come out, yeah, and they had to win in the playoffs. Game 7 against the Habs, Habs scored the first 3 goals of the game. Game 6 against the Habs scored the first 2 goals of the game. Game 5, they scored the first 3 goals of the game. So this has actually technically been 5 games in a row where they have not gotten up early enough, and it's taken way too long, and it's really been plaguing them in 5 straight games.
Yeah, it's hard to compare, obviously, this year's team to, never mind last year's team, but a team in the Mike Babcock era. But it is definitely a common thread among games that they lose when they don't come out on time.
Yeah,
it's hard to win a game in the third period after you're already down 3-0.
Yeah, and like, people look at Peter Mrazek, the fact that he gave up 3 goals in the first period, like, it doesn't look great on paper, but it was the team in front of him that was just so flat. I mean, that a bad turnover by Engvall, you can't do that, gave it up, and then a couple of bad turnovers also throughout the game, some bad bounces, and next thing you know, you're down 3-0 after the first period heading into the intermission. It's just, it's not a good way to come out and start a game, and for me, to me, it's one of the guys who I consistently last year viewed as like the heartbeat of the team, obviously, was Zach Hyman. And yeah, I wonder if, you know, who needs to really step up and be that guy early in games. He often woke the team up by, you know, heavy on the forecheck, laid a couple of hits, maybe got a good opportunities, even on the back check, getting some steals, taking the puck away, and then forcing it up to the forwards, and then away they go. Now all of a sudden there's a heartbeat in the game. We haven't seen that yet, so someone is going to have to take that mantle that Hyman has left behind, and that's been one of the big evident things in the first couple of games. Now, it's only 2 games. We're not going to, you know, say the season's over, but
the drama begins.
But it's a trend, and yeah, like Spets said, it's a theme, and certainly going into tomorrow night, that's everyone's going to be watching. How's the first 10 minutes? How do they play in the first 10 minutes? How do they respond after a couple of bad games to start?
Yeah, it's hard to have a heartbeat when you don't start on time, right? Something I did like from last night, though, when we're talking about heartbeat players and guys that can get the team going, I really liked Michael Bunting last night, drawing penalties. He was such a pest in front of the net. Greasy rat, as some might say. Obviously, unfortunate injury to Mrazek. We'll get into a little bit pretty soon with Chris Johnson when he joins us with an update on that, perhaps. But I thought he looked good. You said, I know that the 3 goals didn't look good, but it kind of was reminiscent of that point made by the Leafs goalie coach in All or Nothing when he said, which one? The one that went off Muzzin's rear end or the one that went off Dermott's rear end? Like, he didn't even have a chance on a couple of those goals. And then there was the whole kicking motion one, which we haven't even begun to unpack yet. So, unfortunate. The only thing I can call Mrazek's night last night was unfortunate, because I thought he played actually really well, and I thought it could have been a lot worse than 3-0.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in the second period.
Like, totally.
That second period alone, like, Peter Mrazek had to make so many grade A chances. Like, they were outshot. I think it was 14-6, and a lot of those shots coming from the slot, coming right out there. And it wasn't necessary. I mean, Mrazek, there was a lot of his rebound control was a little skeptical at times. He was putting pucks into the slot for the Sens to get after, but at the same time, where was the forwards pinching in? Where were the D men picking up their guys? Like,
that
they were
was
just
a big thing.
Right? They were just allowing Ottawa get to the front of the net, get to the ice, and they weren't struggling to do it either, and they were getting off so many opportunities. So it was just like Mrazek was left high and dry. The team wasn't really prepared. They came out so flat to start the game. The second period, they got worked, and then he gets injured at the end of the period, and it doesn't come out for the third. Jack Campbell had to, so he got left high and dry by his teammates, and then left the game to injury. Not a great first game for Peter Mrazek.
Yeah, definitely an unfortunate start for Peter Mrazek. Right now we've got TSN Hockey Insider and Toronto Star columnist making his debut on Leafs Lunch. We just made our debut, so it feels funny to announce people making their debut. Chris Johnson on the phone. Chris, how's it going?
I'm doing great. We're all just getting going together here, so let's have some fun.
Us, the Leafs, the refs, we're all just shaking the dust off a little bit right now.
Exactly.
Keefe didn't have any updates last night on Mrazek, Chris, but do you have any insight as to whether or not he'll miss some time? We know that Campbell had a groin injury last year. Sounds like this is the same thing. Any read on that situation?
Not in terms of a specific timeline, but certainly, you know, do expect Peter Mrazek to be off, you know, out of commission for a little while here. And so, you know, really tough. I just caught the end of what you guys were, you know, speaking about, but really tough debut for him to only last 40 minutes with the Leafs. I actually thought he played pretty well in the second. You know, in the first, I don't put a lot of those goals on him. There were some funny bounces and giveaways in front of him. And then, you know, he was finding his footing and gets injured. And, you know, the fact that it was a groin injury, you know, obviously there's different severities of how those can go. But, you know, as a bit of a rule of thumb, Jack Campbell had a groin issue last year and it kept him off the ice or out of action for a month. You know, it's not to say that it'll be the exact same thing or prognosis, but certainly I don't expect to see Mrazek back in the Leafs net anytime soon. And we've gone from a whole training camp where all the Leafs talked about was having a tandem and sharing the stars.
Seriously.
And you know, by the first weekend of the regular season, it's already Jack Campbell's net.
I know. And you wrote about the Leafs goalie situation for the Toronto Star today and how it's Campbell's time to kind of prove himself. How big of an opportunity is this to truly run away with the starting job here in what is a big contract year for Jack Campbell?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot on the line for him this year. And you know, that would have been the case if he was playing something close to 50-50 of the games with Peter Mrazek. But, you know, I think given that it is early in the year that he started well himself, you know, he's only allowed the one goal to Montreal in Wednesday's game. He was, you know, sharp in the third period last night as the Leafs looked to come back when he was thrown in cold, you know, on the second night of a back-to-back. I mean, I think Jack Campbell should be feeling good about where he's at after last year and you know, getting off to a good start in the very early going this season. I think he had a strong training camp. And so, you know, this is an opportunity for him to run with it. You know, this is what he's waited a whole long time to have. Let's face it. I mean, last year he ended up as the Leafs starter by the end of the year. You know, some of that was through Frederik Andersen's injury, but obviously his own play. But, you know, it's a different animal this season, I think, coming in, knowing that he has that number one job, that you know, the team, you know, obviously has some pretty big expectations and hopes for their own season. And, you know, he is in a position now to play for a contract and set himself up in a way that he hasn't financially. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into that for Jack Campbell. I think he's ready for it, but, you know, we've never seen him play more than 30 games in an NHL season. And so there are some unknowns there if he ends up, you know, playing 50 games or even more for the Leafs this season, just about how his body will hold up and even mentally how he'll deal with that challenge, because it is a big jump from what he's done in the past.
Insider Chris Johnson on the phone on Leafs Lunch. Chris, it's only been two games. We know Leafs Nation likes to hit the panic button early, so we'll try to avoid that. But what's your evaluation of the Leafs through their first two?
I think there's been some good in it. You know, I've liked a little bit of what we've seen from some of the newcomers, you know, particularly, you know, the Camp Kasha duo, you know, which I think will be an important line for Sheldon Keefe. Something he's hoped to have is kind of, I guess, a more traditional kind of checking line where they can, you know, take defensive assignments, you know, starting shifts in their own end a lot, playing against the other team's best players, maybe freeing up once we get a healthy Austin Matthews back in a lineup, you know, maybe opening some new opportunities for the way the Leafs top line is deployed. And so, I think that's been encouraging. You know, William Nylander's left picked right up where he left off in that playoff series with Montreal, where he was probably the strongest individual performer for the Leafs, I thought, in that series in May, and has looked very good, very engaged, you know, played a lot of minutes in the game last night, and you know, made his presence felt. And so, you know, I guess we can focus on the 1-1 start or the fact that they got behind Ottawa and had a slow start against Montreal. But, you know, I think it has been, there's probably more good than bad for me, honestly, through two games. And, you know, I do think that we're going to see Austin Matthews return here soon and you know, give the Leafs a chance to get running.
CJ, one of the players that I think has, you know, stood out in yesterday's game was Michael Bunting. And then you talk about some of the new players. He stood out. Nick Ritchie didn't have the best night yesterday. Do you think maybe Sheldon Keefe going into tomorrow could toy around the lines a little bit and maybe send Bunting up to the top line and then kind of play around with everything else that's there with the lineup?
I think he could, just because nothing's really set on the left side. You know, I just the nature of the way the camp's gone, you know, not having Austin at all be a participant, you know, the lines don't have a lot of feeling to them. I mean, I think we're pretty sure that when everyone's healthy that you're going to have Matthews and Marner as two-thirds of a line. You're going to have Nylander and Tavares as two-thirds of a line. I think Kasha and Kampf will most likely be two-thirds of a line, although maybe some different things that can happen in the bottom six. But, you know, there is sort of movable pieces at this point. And, you know, it might take a little while for everything to get settled, quite honestly. I mean, you know, I think that that'll be sort of the line for Sheldon Keefe is how much do you want to give things a chance to gel and get going, you know, maybe stick with someone like Ritchie for a while to see if they can find some of that chemistry, or maybe he'll just be juggling things until something falls into place. But, you know, certainly I think the Leafs have more optionality this year to move players around than they did last year. I think that was one of the benefits of the offseason that Kyle Dubas and the management staff had, is they brought in players that you know, can fill in multiple roles, maybe a little more versatility in the lineup. And, you know, as a result of that, I think there's more chess pieces to move around until they get their feet under them.
Always some officiating drama to start the season. It's not even the postseason yet. We've already got the drama going. Keefe was obviously irate with those couple hooking calls that kind of just looked like a lift of the stick. And then there was also the kicking motion on the Tierney goal. What do you think about that kicking motion? Do you think it looked like one to you? We saw it earlier in the week, too. Do you think it'll be a topic of discussion going forward, what the distinction on that rule is? Because it's kind of vague to me.
Well, you know, personally, I don't have an issue with it, but it's definitely generating buzz behind the scenes. I mean, I think that, you know, one thing we'll see, the general managers are due to meet here in the next few weeks. And, you know, they're the ones who handle rule changes or rule clarifications. You know, I think that they'll discuss that because, you know, there was that Chandler Stephenson goal in the Vegas, Seattle game on Wednesday night. You know, you get the Tierney goal last night. I mean, I think if nothing else, the league will want to almost poll the managers and say, do we like these calls? Does something need addressed here? But that's not to suggest there'll certainly be a change, but I think that it's something that, you know, they're sensitive to at this point in time. And, you know, when it comes to those penalty calls, I can understand in the moment, especially why Sheldon's upset. You know, John Tavares was upset. He's not a player that's known for voicing much displeasure on the ice. You know, he's a pretty respected guy and respectful to those around him, but he was calling it a brutal call. But, you know, let's face it. It's like you guys are on your first week here. I'm getting used to my new digs. You know, the referees, you know, they're just getting back into their own season. I mean, mistakes are going to be made. You know, it's not to excuse them. I think the Leafs do have some right to quibble with a couple of those penalties last night, the two that involve stick lifts in particular. But, you know, that's part of the game. And, you know, the Leafs have put themselves in that spot where they're chasing the game. And so, you know, that probably had them be more upset because they needed a goal to tie it. And that, certainly made the last minute a little less exciting.
In conversation with TSN insider Chris Johnston, I'm Mike DiStefano with Julia Tesheri. CJ, we had some breaking news happen this morning. The Bruins coming to an agreement with Charlie McAvoy, 8 years, $9.5 million annually. So, of course, Maple Leafs Nation automatically looks at that and says, what does that do for the Morgan Rielly market?
Well, you know, Morgan Rielly's had the best summer of anyone going, and he hasn't had to do anything, frankly, because... You know, the market for a defenseman that produced points and play the kind of minutes he does has skyrocketed. I mean, going all the way back through the summer, you've got Darnell Nurse, Dougie Hamilton, Cale Makar. You know, there's a couple others. Anyway, we've seen multiple defensemen sign for $9 million and above.
Yeah.
Zach Werenski as well. And so all those players obviously aren't perfect comparables for Morgan, but I think it's quite clear at the top end of the defensive market that you know, things have shifted. And so I think it's reasonable for everyone to look at that and look at, you know, the minutes that Morgan plays, the points he's produced over his career, and suggest that his market got better as a result of that. You know, I don't think there's any question. And so, you know, I don't know how much it changes the situation with the Leafs. You know, he does want to be here. I believe that. I think that's part of, you know, management standpoint and wanting to, first of all, give it some time before engaging in serious negotiations with Morgan. Is just to see how things play out, see how the season goes. You know, they might have to make some other cap related decisions before trying to extend him. And, you know, certainly I think he's in a great position to cash in next summer. And
yeah.
I guess, you know, really the $1 million question or multi-million dollar question is, will it be here or not? And, you know, I don't think anyone has that answer right now. You know, I think all things being equal, the Leafs would love to keep him and he'd love to stay. But, you know, as we saw with the Zach Hyman situation last year, sometimes even when you start off at that position, it's just not, there's not always a path to a solution that makes sense for both sides.
Yeah, and I think the multi-million dollar question is it, right? The fact that you're seeing all these defensemen get paid, and the Maple Leafs, we already know their cap structure is so tight. Like, for them to even get Morgan Rielly under contract, you have to assume that they're going to have to be creative somehow to get that AAV down.
Well, and there's ways they can do it. I mean, if you go to 8-year deal, you know, which is probably a little bit long for someone like Morgan because he is at the end of his 20s, and so mm-hmm. you'd be paying him deep into his 30s. You know, there's some risk there. I mean, that's one way to lower the you know, what you have to pay him per season by spreading it out in that manner. And, you know, maybe that's a solution. You know, the one thing the Leafs have shown the willingness to do that not every team has is putting a lot of signing bonus money into these contracts, and you know, that can be a benefit for players to get a big chunk of money at once as opposed to everything spread out equally through the deal. And then, you know, ultimately, you know, I think it has to come down to a personal choice for Morgan. Is it worth, you know, $500,000 or something more a year somewhere else, or to take a little bit less and stay? You know, I'm certainly not I don't fault any player for maximizing his earning ability. You know, at the age I'm at, I wouldn't be even still in the NHL even if I had been there, and I still feel like I'm mid-career is where I'm at. So it's sort of a different set of circumstances they face in their life than we do as players. But, you know, at some point, maybe it will come down to Morgan being willing to work with the team and maybe not get top market value and you know, in exchange for getting to stay in a place where he's very comfortable and where he's liked and all those things. So, you know, I don't think it's too soon to really handicap this one, I think. I mean, certainly what isn't a mystery or what isn't up for debate is that this is going to be a tough situation for the Leafs to fit him in, but, you know, there are ways they can do it. You know, I don't think by any means he's definitely gone or anything like that, but with each new comparable that works in the player's favor, it's going to be harder to keep him because of the Leafs' cap situation and the fact that it's a flat salary cap environment now.
CJ, before you hopped on, we were talking about the Leafs and the issue with having slow starts so far this season, and it kind of dates back not only the last playoffs, but way back to the Babcock era. It used to be Zach Hyman that was kind of the rah-rah heartbeat guy of the team that would get the boys going. Who do you have tapped on the shoulder to be that guy tomorrow? Because the Leafs need to come out of the gate swinging.
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I guess it's not an exact comparable, certainly, as Hyman. You know, I think what we've seen from Michael Bunting is he can maybe fill in some of that role. I mean, certainly doesn't show any timidness in forechecking or being hard around the net. We've seen him draw a few penalties. I could see him being kind of not necessarily rah-rah in saying anything, but you know, maybe leading the charge in terms of playing physically and getting emotionally involved in the game. You know, I've actually liked what we've seen out of Jason Spezza. You know, I think his value probably is maybe more behind the scenes, the way he is with his teammates and, you know, just how you know, some of the qualities he has as a guy, but I, you know, I think he's actually played pretty well to start this year. And obviously I think he's an important figure on the team. And, you know, ideally it's not coming from one person anyway. I mean, I think, you know, you're trying to build a team where, you know, it's shared the responsibilities of leadership or the responsibilities of holding the group accountable among a group of people, and you know, some of them wear letters. You know, the obvious guys, the stars of the team, are the ones with those on. But you know, that you have some secondary players that can drive things. But you know, at this stage, if I'm being honest, and I'm still getting a feel for the new team or this version of the team, and getting a sense of the personalities, I guess, because it is, you know, there's been a lot of changes from year to year to year, in the bottom half of the roster. And, you know, that's probably the way it's going to be next year too. I mean, it's partly driven by the cap circumstances the Leafs are dealing with, but, you know, I think it takes some time maybe to establish, you know, who those individuals are that can be counted on when, yeah, I mean, certainly, they need a strong start tomorrow, I think, just to not fall into a pattern, you know, three games in a row, and then obviously looking for a bounce back against the Senators team that always seems to play the Leafs difficult, even if there's the gap of what their expectations are, where they're at in the standings.
CJ, we'll get you out on this one, but there was a report from Emily Kaplan of ESPN yesterday that there was an imminent deal, apparently, for Eichel on the table last week and then kind of went cold. What's the latest there?
Well, it's definitely gone cold, and you know, last week there was some enthusiasm or some hope that something might get done with Jack Eichel. You know, where the process is at is, you know, that there are teams around the league that are willing to allow Jack Eichel to have the disc replacement surgery that he wants to have, you know, the one that the Sabres doctors don't want to allow him to have. And so, you know, that is a breakthrough of sorts that, you know, because really any team that's going to make this deal has to be comfortable with the same treatment plan that Jack Eichel himself wants. But, you know, it does sound as though, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And look, part of the dynamic here is, yes, this is a long-term decision if you're trading for Jack Eichel. He's got four seasons on his contract beyond this one. But if you made that trade today and he had the surgery in the near future, I mean, he's reasonably not playing for your team until, you know, middle of winter or later, and who knows how effective we'll be at that point coming off that kind of surgery. And so, you know, I think there's maybe less urgency in some ways for the teams looking to make this trade versus, you know, the Sabres and Eichel's camp would prefer, I think, to both move on and start moving towards a better future. And so, you know, the market maybe isn't lining up just perfectly yet, but, you know, the latest I heard out of those negotiations is it's going to take some time. And so, you know, I don't have any reason to believe that anything is particularly close at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds. CJ, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Good to be on with you guys, and we'll talk next week.
Yes, we will. There he goes, Chris Johnston, TSN insider columnist for the Toronto Star. He'll be with us every Friday, so we'll see him again next Friday. As we do after every Leafs game, time to play some Stay or Go.
Well, I suppose we should get going.
All right, everybody, stay right where you are.
Get the hell out of here.
No, you stay here.
You gotta get going, so go.
I'm sorry you came.
Time now for Stay.
Nobody got a gun to your head.
Or Go.
I'll be back.
Should I stay or should I go now?
All right, for me, my stay, Michael Bunting. Being the greasy rat he is, I need that to stay. I am loving every little second of it. Keep being that pest. Keep being it, because I think the team needs it. Keep being a menace out there. Another drawn penalty last night, purely from getting under the skin of the Ottawa Senators. And for a second straight game, that drawn penalty led to a power play goal. So that clearly is helping the team. So to me, keep being that pest. That could stay, Mr. Michael Bunting.
He walks that line really well.
I love it.
He, like, draws penalties, doesn't take that many penalties. I heard Sheldon Keefe say earlier in the week. No, not earlier in the week. It must have been 2 days ago. It wasn't that long ago. But something along the lines of, we had to keep him calm on the bench because he just gets so jacked up. And I love that. My stay is going to be the third line and the third D pairing just being generally awesome. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about the Sandin-Dermott pairing, but it's looked really good so far. It looked better than their first pairing last night even. Sandin especially has looked really good. And that third line, despite a couple bloopers from Engvall last night, we'll call them, that third line has looked really good as well. I really like the pairing of Kasha and Camp.
I really like CJ talked about it. He said, you know, we got that top line of Marner Matthews, that top duo looks like JT Nylander, another duo, and it looks like Camp Kasha could be another trio and just keep building that depth down the line, like down the team. I do really appreciate how they've come out and how they played so far early on in the year. My go, giving up an abundance of top-end grade-A scoring chances. I mean, Mrazek was held out to dry last night. 13 slot shots in the second period alone. Really forced him to stay on his head. That is obviously not the recipe for success. They got to tighten it up defensively and keep the opposition out of the high-scoring areas.
Yep, definitely. My go is going to be ugly turnovers. Nick Ritchie had quite a few last night. Engvall got himself an apple, but for
Muzzin didn't play well last night, too. A couple turnovers from him.
Yeah, so those kind of cost them their season last year, so they've got to clean those up, obviously.
Jesse and Corwin from Bar Down, your friends from Bar Down, joining us next. Plus, we're giving away some Marley's tickets and a $100 prepaid vanilla Visa card. I'm Al's brother, she's Julia Tacheri. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
I'm pretty sure we're at the nerd table, AB. Leafs Lunch Table is brought to you by Vanilla Visa prepaid cards available at Petro-Canada, the perfect gift for any occasion. I'm Julia Tacheri. I've got AB, Al's brother, Mike DiStefano from Overdrive with me. And even more exciting, no, I didn't mean that, AB, that was me.
More exciting.
Even just as exciting, we've got the boys from Bar Down, my coworkers, Jesse and Corwin. Before we let Jesse talk, because things always go off the rails whenever he joins a conversation, we'll bring in Corwin, because I have to put Corwin on blast, because last time we brought him on the show, he was late. He's allegedly on the phone right now. I'm not sure I'll believe until I hear him talk. Oh, I think I hear you giggling, Corwin. Corwin, I was telling Al's brother and Steph, our producer this morning, about your insane beer league schedule.
Oh no.
You like hockey way too much, dude. No one likes hockey more than Corwin. Corwin played, tell them, Corwin, how much beer league have you played in the last 24 hours?
So two games, I guess, but like more probably in the last 10 hours. So I had hockey last night at 9:30 and then this morning at 6:45 a.m. So, but I mean, I have no explanation. I like it.
Here's my question, because the way that Julia phrases it, like, you have yourself on the list to, like, join any beer league team if they ever need an extra, you're, like, the first guy to sign up for it. So, like, this 6:45 game, did you, like, wake up at 6 a.m. hoping you had a text from somebody saying, hey, we need a body, and you were just, like, ready to go? Yep, I'll be there in 30 minutes.
I mean, I feel like maybe this is a good opportunity. Maybe I should just, like, say my phone number out loud on the show. And then, because, like, 100%. Like, I'm sure most people in my life would know me as the guy that, like, I'm reliable in almost no situations except for if you want me to play for your hockey team, where I will answer the phone immediately and be there immediately. So, but these two are kind of scheduled. The Thursday night one was, like, I was doing like this one game thing where it ended at like 8:30 somewhere, and then a couple different times there was like these older guys that would rent the ice right after me, and they like a couple times they had like four guys to play with, so they asked me to come stay and play for a little longer. So I would do that, and then eventually they were like, "We're putting you on our email list," and they like they're the best. Like this guy Dwayne, he's the best. He sends like probably like 5 emails a week of different ice times that he's setting up. So I'm just checking into as many of those as I can.
Shout out Dwayne.
Okay, everyone brace yourselves because we're going to bring in Jesse now. Jesse, are you there? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm about to just cause absolute chaos on this call, so let's do this.
I know. Did you know that Corwin does this? Corwin, like, has himself on a bunch of, like, he goes to every beer league game. Did you know that Corwin played hockey last night and also this morning at 6:45?
Well, I knew that he played this morning.
I was just saying you were the reason I was allowed to play this morning.
Yeah.
I just did because Corwin was going to do a hit for CP24, but told him I'd do it so he could get some puck. And I respect it. I think it's fantastic. Corwin and I actually just invited Corwin onto a new beer league squad with some of my buddies from Winnipeg.
Oh
and
my
some
gosh,
new friends
Corwin!
That I made out here, so. Yeah, we're going to be playing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays in the Downtown Men's Hockey League. It's a pretty solid league, so get your popcorn ready. And if you ever want to come watch us play, come to De La Salle or UCC. Probably going to drop the mitts, not going to lie.
Okay, I'm absolutely never going to do that, but I'm rooting for you guys. This week, we put out at Bar Down, Corwin, you were at Media Day, right? Jesse, were you there too?
No, I actually had COVID.
Oh, right. That was then. Sorry to put you on blast there. Nice, dude.
I wish I was there, though. It looked like a great time.
Yeah. We put out a video, Leafs teammates calling one another out. This was my favorite part, personally.
The teammate with a piece of equipment they need to let go.
Not a big equipment guy, you know?
Jack Campbell. It's got to be him. He's got this water sprayer that he sprays on his gear. It takes up the majority of his time at the rink because he likes it wet when he wears it, and it's time to move on from that, I think.
Just because he's been around forever, and I like to give him a hard time about it.
I'm just going to say Spets because this guy is crazy with his sticks.
And he's very picky on his equipment. He's a very particular guy when it comes to his gear.
Take it easy with your sticks a little bit. Thank you.
I'm going to go with Dermy, and he should let go of his tinted visor. I wore one for like a minute, and there's pictures out there, and I hate it. So it was like Hossa and Havlat, and all the guys wore tinted visors. So for a second, I thought it might be something worth trying, and I quickly changed my mind.
Was it when you saw a picture that you liked them?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Not really hockey equipment, but he always seems to have hair gel on him. I'm going to go with Pierre.
Spetz's laugh kills me. Okay, Corwin, you first, and then Jesse. Worst style choice you can make on the ice?
Like anybody can make on the ice or I can make on the ice?
No, you can make a lot, but like, I mean, style, like anybody.
Oh, that's so tough. Cause like, it's weird because some of the ones that I think are the worst are also the best. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, it actually does.
Like, because I like the thing is, it's basically you can do anything you want as long as you're good enough. Because the big thing is like you're just putting a little bit of a target on you. Where like if because again like shout out the Leafs that them going to the white chin strap for their buckets this year is amazing. I love it so much. And then but that was always a thing for like. When I worked at hockey stores all growing up, and there was like there were always kids would come in and be like, hey, can I get like a white chin strap and blah blah blah. So they'd come in, they'd buy them specifically so they look cooler on the ice. And when I'm playing out there with a guy with a bucket with no ear guards, white chin strap, white ear loops, I'm like, okay, you better be good, man. Like he's rocking white gloves, he's rocking again tinted visor, things like yeah. Like, hey, if you are going to score all our goals, wear whatever you want, and I love it. But, yeah, that's kind of the thing for me. I don't think there's anything off-limits, but just back it up.
Jesse, you have the worst style, so you can go next.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do all those things, but I don't score goals, Corwin, so maybe you're talking some crap about me behind my back to the other guys. Like, oh, this guy sucks, brutal style. But anyways, oh wow, thanks man, you're flattering me. but I honestly think the dustiest style choice you can make is, and I did this all the time growing up, and years later I found out that everyone in my league actually chirped me for it. it's tucking your tongue in and the back of your boot with your socks.
Oh man, you did that?
What?
Imagine this, okay? Yeah, I used to do that when I was younger, okay? I wore glasses under my Bauer 8500 helmet. All right. And I wore number 2 as a forward. Could you
Come on.
Brutal. The worst part about that is number 2 as a forward.
That's brutal.
Okay, let me explain. So every year, whenever we would pick numbers for the team, it would be Yom Kippur. And I wouldn't be at that state. I'm just talking the dustiest number. So here I was, number 2, but now I wear 69, so everything worked out.
Corwin, I got a question for you, actually. You know, big-time Leaf guy. And I just want to get your thoughts on how you think the first couple of games have gone so far for the Toronto.
Okay, well, first thing I'll say, just to fire up Jesse a little bit, is Michael Bunting, Rookie of the Year, smash that plus 3,500.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that.
No. You're all dumb. Welcome to Leafs lunch.
Yeah, no kidding.
But overall, like I don't know, I'm happy. Last night wasn't as embarrassing as it was looking like it might be. Especially like I feel like all the other teams in the league helped out a little bit by just having the craziest results all night, like with obviously the Lightning thing and then the Kings Knights game and just crazy games all across the board. But overall, like I don't know, you obviously want to see them score more. I think they've looked okay. I think I heard you guys talking earlier about these. Yeah, they're definitely allowing a lot of like pretty high danger chances and
like, again, even though that game got closer in the third period there, like, I don't think they're even in it if Jack Campbell doesn't make a couple, like, really great saves over, like, in that third period. And yeah, so overall, it's fine. Like you guys said, I really love Andre Kasha. I think he's, like, my probably I love him. I love him. It's in the, I do think, like, having a third line like that that you're actually kind of excited to have come on every night, it will be huge. But overall, I think they look good. I think they'll win the division.
Okay. I like that optimism. Jesse, did you watch the Leafs game last night, or were you flipping all around the league?
No, well, I mean, I was watching everything last night. There were so many different sporting events going last night. I was watching the Leafs-Sens game. I was keeping tabs on the other games going on in the league. I was watching football. Baseball was on. It was just chaos last night. But, yeah, I watched some of the game. I thought the Leafs looked good, but it's nice to see the Sens get a win in their first game of the year.
Some of the things that Corbin was talking about, just how wild of a night last night was. I think, like, I mean, the fact that, I remember we were texting last night, us in the Leafs lunch chat, and it was like 6-3 Detroit over Tampa. 5 minutes later, I look, it's tied 6-6. I was like, what is going on? Earlier in the night, the Buffalo Sabres beat Montreal 5-1. And, I mean, Buffalo, we all just assume that they're tanking this season.
What on earth?
And it came out yesterday, actually, that the Sabres are going to do the individual goal song for Buffalo. So my question to you guys is, what would be your individual goal song for yourself for Beer League? Corey, we'll start with you.
Yeah. I'll go first? Okay. I feel like I've said this to a couple people recently. Is Rasputin, like, this song, especially, like, with, like, on TikTok, it just had this revival for a little bit. And I just think it's, like, such a perfect goal song for a hockey team that I'm surprised, like, nobody uses it. Even, like, especially if you're a team with, like, a prominent Russian presence, where, like if you're the Capitals or even, I guess, the Rangers at this point, it's like, if you have it for, like, Panarin and stuff like that. I just think, man, that song gets me going. You know, I feel like it would just get the whole crowd buzzing. Everybody knows the lyrics, and I think it would be a pretty unique one. So 100%, I'd be into that.
Wait. I think we need to discuss a couple things here. First of all, Rasputin, it never died, baby. It's been going all these years. Second of all, you need to clarify which part of the song you would want as your goal song, because the beginning is so electric, and the chorus is also electric. But I think the beginning is like, wow, like, get out of your seats, ladies and gents.
Which part is it, Corwin? The beginning or the chorus?
I mean, I get what Jesse's saying, but at the same time, like, I think you gotta go with, like, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, Jesse, what's your pick?
Honestly, probably a revised version of Benny and the Jets. I would trade it to Jesse and the Jets, just because I'm a beauty like that. And, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be hearing it too often, but, you know, it'd be nice for whoever comes to attendance in our games, like, twice, two, three times a year they get to hear it, because that's probably how often I score goals during Beer League.
All right, before I let you go, Jesse, I have to ask. So, for the Leafs, if you're a Leafs fan, Corn, you'll feel this. Hyman is, like, the ex that, like, don't check his Instagram, just leave it alone. You know he's doing well without you. For you, Jesse, that's Patrick Laine, obviously, and then he pulls up to the game last night in just the best outfit ever.
Unreal shades.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Your takeaways, your thoughts, your feelings.
It looked like Neo from The Matrix decided to go with the fellas from Night of the Roxbury. Like, it was just it was just totally wicked. He's also rocking the Muzzy. Like, you guys, like, for those who don't really know who I am, like, listening right now, like, this, I, like, me specifically, I am in love with that outfit. Like, I first of all, I love Patrick Laine. Second of all, his shades could not be more cash. Third, that outfit. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It is, oh my goodness. He looked just unbelievable. I tweeted last night, like, is this what love feels like? Because when I saw that picture, like, I felt something. I honestly felt something. Like, Patty Laine is a man. I don't even care that he's not on the Jets anymore. I love that dude. Columbus is probably my second team now, if I had to say. And I think Laine is in for a big year this year. And, you know, I obviously like Pierre-Luc Dubois, but I have, like, a special connection with Patrick Laine. And I just keep getting these, like, weird things in my head by the end of the year, just seeing, like, oh, Patrick Laine scores, like, 38 goals on the year. But we'll see what happens. It's too bad he's not in Winnipeg anymore. Honestly, it's a shame. Seeing your number two overall pick leave after, like, 4 years, like, what is that, a cup of coffee? Brutal.
Well, Corwin, Jesse, it was a fun chat, and we're going to let you go out on a fun note. And here's the banger that you guys are loving.
Wow.
So thank you so much, yes. And we'll chat again soon.
All right. See you, everyone.
Take care,
bye, guys.
That's Corey McCallum and Jesse Pollock from Bar Down. Leafs Lunch Table, fueled by Vanilla Visa prepaid cards in Petro-Canada for your chance to win a $100 Vanilla Visa prepaid card. Text the keyword LUNCH and your name to 105050. Text LUNCH and your name to 105050 to win a $100 Vanilla Visa prepaid card. All right, I'm Mike DiStefano. She's Julia Tesheri. Next up, our Friday 5-in-5 debuts. You won't want to miss it. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
This is Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Lighten up. It's Friday.
Friday.
Is it Friday already?
CGIF.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's Friday. You're listening to The Leafs Lunch, Friday 5-in-5. On TSN 1050, the Leafs live here.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, endless weekend on a wave, yeah. It's Friday, then
Leafs Lunch is brought to you in part by Lease Busters. Get out of your lease ASAP. Over 2,000 customers per month looking to take over your lease. What a relief. Go to leasebusters.com. I'm Julie Tesheri from Bar Down. He's Al's brother, Mike DiStefano from Overdrive. This is getting me in a really Friday vibe. You got any big weekend plans, AB?
Other than, like, watch. Actually, I do. My sister and brother-in-law, soon-to-be brother-in-law, are having, like, their engagement party. So, actually, tomorrow I do have some plans.
Okay.
But outside of that, probably just going to be sitting down watching sports like I do basically every weekend, right? There's going to be a nice game tomorrow. Leafs, Sens, a little getting back at it. Obviously, Toronto's got a lot to prove.
Yep.
So I'll be watching that. And then Sunday, I mean, everyone knows Sunday is just a full slate of football for me. There's a London game, too.
Nice.
So right from 9 a.m. through to like nearly midnight.
Wait, a London game?
Yeah, London, England.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So they got a game in London, England, which means it's a 9:30 like local start.
Right.
I legitimately wake up at 9 a.m. on Sunday, and I'll be watching football till about 11 p.m.
I stick to hockey. I'm a hockey nerd, honestly. I watch Vikings games, but that's all I've got. I have to shout out the Guelph Griffins also, because I think they're listening right now, and they have their home opener this weekend. Going to be there. Shout out to them.
Well, as a former Mustang, I cannot give any shout outs to the Guelph Griffins. But for our Friday 5-in-5 this week, we're going to be giving some shout outs to some storylines that we did not get to over the course of the week. Some big notables that have been going on, and we've just been so, you know, stuck in Leafs mode. With
Leafland. We've been in the mode.
And let's just go through some of the big stuff that we've missed, some of the stuff that's been going on around the NHL. And I think one of the most notable things that I have on my list is last night, the Columbus Blue Jackets coming out an 8-2 win, a massive victory. They played so well, and Elvis Merzlikins wore Matisse Kivlenik's jersey for warmups, and he changed his number to 80 for the night. And if you don't know the story, he passed away this summer in a 4th of July fireworks accident, and they were really, really good friends, and he was emotional afterward. There's a terrific clip about him doing a post-game interview with him and saying how, you know, they played hard for him. They played, and he was watching from upstairs, and they were so happy to give him the win, and I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
Yeah.
But that, to me, was one of the best stories of opening week.
Amazing. He had a monster game. He really spoke to the fact that the team wanted to play well for him.
Yeah.
There's a really nice clip during the three stars of him pointing upwards to the sky. So just a really good feel, a good story from the opening week of hockey season.
Another story.
I love this one.
Ovechkin taking sole possession of fifth in all-time goals, scored 2 in the season opener. So not only did he tie Marcel Dion, but that he passed him in the same game. It was crazy. And I don't know about you, Julia. I legitimately feel like Alex Ovechkin is going to be in second by the end of the year.
I think so too. Yeah. He was game time decision, wasn't he? And then he came out ripped too.
4 points. That's two,
so
two helpers too.
Vintage Obi.
It was unreal.
I was talking about this recently, and I think he'll get close. I think Obi has like 4 or 5 good years left in him. I don't know if he'll do it in those 4 or 5 good years left in him, but I think he'll bounce around and play until he beats it. I think Obi's going to do it.
I think so, too. The Seattle Kraken getting their first win last night. They defeated the Nashville Predators by a score of 4-3. Brandon Tanev, 2 goals, including the game winner.
Did you see Brandon Tanev blow the crowd a kiss as a goal celly? Like, he's a character.
I love Tanev.
He's a character, man.
Yeah, just see everything from, like, the ghost picture to just being, like, he's the heart and soul, heartbeat type of guy that Toronto could use over the next couple of days. Buffalo Sabres attendance last night. Apparently 10,000 season ticket holders dropping off. If you looked at that barn, now they came out, played well, and they won 5-1 against Montreal, but they may have done it in front of like 17 people.
And that's okay. You know what? They don't. Do they deserve fans right now?
No.
I heard Kevin Adams say in the media recently they have to win back their fans. And then I'm not sure if I saw it on Twitter. I'm sorry if I'm not crediting the person whose tweet this was. But they said if they keep playing like that, they'll win them back in no time.
If there's anything we know about sports, is that winning.
Especially Buffalo?
Winning heals all.
Yeah.
Winning heals all. Now, I am not anticipating a big season out of Buffalo this year.
No.
I don't think anybody is, especially if Jack Eichel doesn't come back, which we're not expecting him to come back either. But, it didn't look too good for the attendance last night. And lastly, I mean, the goalie situation here in Toronto.
Yeah. That's
going to be a big storyline heading into the weekend. Peter Mrazek, injured his groin last night. And I think it was notable, if you didn't hear the interview earlier we had with Chris Johnston, he said he doesn't anticipate Mrazek being with this club for a little bit, could miss some time. Of course, there's no official update, but that's just his inclination. That's going to be interesting. So now it's kind of Jack Campbell's net for him to solidify.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that whole situation shakes down. I guess Hutchinson getting the call up for Saturday night would be the obvious guess there, but really unfortunate, like we said before, for Mrazek.
And we're giving away tickets. The Toronto Marlies begin their season tomorrow afternoon against the Manitoba Moose at 4 p.m. at Coca-Cola Coliseum. We're giving away 4-pack of tickets to see the game. 5th caller in gets to see Nick Robertson and the Marlies. Call us now, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. Fans can join the action and purchase tickets to Saturday's game at marlies.ca/tickets. If you missed any of today's show, you can find it on tsn1050.ca or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano for Julie Teixeira. You've been listening to Leafs Lunch. Gameplay with Matt Cause next.